Shalom Aleichem. My name is Ezra Schwartz, and I'm one of the Rebbeim in Yeshiva. I'm an administrator in the Yeshiva and the Smicha program as well. And it's a pleasure to be here and share some of my thoughts about tshuva. We're going to be doing a three-part series. The first part this evening is going to be tshuva, returning to Hashem. Connecting to Hashem. Next week, God willing, we'll talk about tshuva between me and you. And then the week afterwards, we'll discuss tshuva between me and myself. Tshuva has three elements. There's connecting to Hashem, there's connecting to my fellow individual, and there's also connecting to Hashem, my fellow individual, and to myself. Those are the three aspects of tshuva. And one of the things that is really interesting, you know, Rabbeinu Yonah discusses it right at the beginning of Shaarei Tshuva. The Rambam has it. The idea of Averos is that they create a barrier. They build, I wouldn't just say a barrier, but it's like a stockade. It's this massive wall that separates between me and the Rabbono Shel Olam. Rabbeinu Yonah speaks about how Mar Vara azov es Hashem. It's a bad thing. You left God. The Rambam speaks about the fact how before our Averos, a person was moved on Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Avonoseichem hayum abdilim beinechem lebein alokeichem. The idea was that our Averos, they create a barrier between us and Hashem. So we have to break that barrier down. That's our challenge. So what do we do? How do we go about breaking down this barrier between me and Hashem? If you would ask me, again, I'm a yeshiva guy, I teach Torah. So I would say, you know what? The best way to break down that barrier is to pull out some books, pull out some svarim, read them, see how to reconnect to Hashem. And the study of Torah, of course, we know Torah itself is the wisdom of Hashem. So studying Torah would be, to my mind, the best way to connect to Hashem. And if you want to be a little more specific, I'd say not just study Torah, but study Mussar. Study the parts of Torah that talk about how significant, how bad Averos are, how we go about improving them. Torah, Mussar, that's how we reconnect to Hashem. That's what I would have said. When you think about it, the way we do tshuva is not about Torah. What do we do in preparation for Yom HaKippurim, in preparation for Rosh Hashanah? The answer is we daven, no? We talk about Aseres Yimei Tshuva, 10 days of doing tshuva, but really what we do during those days is mirdavent, umirdavent nochamol, unnochamol. You daven and you daven again and again. Right, that's what you're doing. We have longer davening than usual. We say slichos. That's how we're doing tshuva. We daven. So why is it? Why is it that tefillah, that davening, is really the substantive way that we go about doing tshuva? Right, there's no place in halacha where it legislates that I'm supposed to learn mussar. It's a good idea. Don't get me wrong. There's no place in halacha where it legislates, you know what, accept on yourself to study more Torah, accept on yourself to be more kind, more gentle. These are all wonderful things, but that's not specifically legislated in halacha. The one thing that halacha says is to prepare for Rosh Hashanah, for Yom HaKippurim, to do tshuva, you daven. You say slichos. You add to davening. You say Avinu Malkeinu. That's how we prepare. Why? Why is it? So I would like to suggest four basic reasons why tefillah, why davening, stands at the core of our tshuva experience. The first reason is actually Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shaarei Tshuva. By the way, the Shaarei Tshuva is like the classical work on tshuva. It's authored by Rabbeinu Yonah of Gerona of Gerundi. The tradition is that Rabbeinu Yonah was an opponent of the Rambam. We know that historically there was this whole Maimonidean controversy. And Rabbeinu Yonah was one of the leaders of the fight against the Rambam. And later on in life, Rabbeinu Yonah recognized that he was mistaken in opposing the Rambam. So Rabbeinu Yonah said, I have to do tshuva. And he wrote a book called Shari Tshuva, which traditionally is known as Rabbeinu Yonah's way of atoning for his opposition to the Rambam. Now, whether or not this is factually correct is a different story. Often in Yiddishkeit, the stories that impact on us the most might not have exact factual accuracy. But the fact is, Rabbeinu Yonah is the person who we study in preparation for doing tshuva. So Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva tells us in the first sha'ar that there are 20 different ways, 20 ways that a person goes about, 20 ikarim of tshuva. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah calls them. 20 major points of tshuva. And letters mem aleph, mem beis, and mem gimel of that. Rabbeinu Yonah tells us that the way you do tshuva, an essential aspect of tshuva, is yispalel al Hashem, to daven to Hashem. And you're davening to Hashem to forgive your sins. Tefillah is tshuva, but not tefillah in general. The first point of Rabbeinu Yonah is that you have to pray to God to forgive me. That's his first point. The second point that Rabbeinu Yonah makes in the next letter is that you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu through your tefillos, you're asking Sheyachpotz Bo Hashem V'Yirtzehu, that Hashem should find favor with you. You know, there are different ways of forgiving. Forgiveness, by the way, is more important for the person who feels aggrieved than for the one who actually hurt. When we don't forgive, there's something in us that we can't get rid of. Forgiveness is essential to who we are as humans. But I can forgive you in different ways. I can forgive you in the way that I say, I'm not going to hold a grudge against you. I'm not going to be angry, as if I'm saying I'm not going to press charges if I want to use a legal construct. But there's another way of forgiving, a way which is much greater. And that is, I forgive you to such an extent that we actually become friends again. I could hurt somebody and I'll forgive the person. The person will forgive me. And okay, they forgive me, but it won't be the same. That's normal forgiveness. But Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that Yidaven Hashem, that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyach Potzbo V'Yirtzehu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accomplish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you what's called Ritzui, what is called full, complete forgiveness, that you're like best buddies again. So that's another aspect of davening. So there are two aspects. So far, the Rabbeinu Yonah talks about davening as being essential to tshuva. Just that you're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should forgive you. Not only that Hashem should forgive you, but Hashem should become, as it were, best buddies with you. And then Rabbeinu Yonah adds a third point. The third point that the Rabbeinu Yonah adds is that Hashem should help you do tshuva. Tshuva is not something that comes easily. So we daven and we daven and we daven some more because we're asking Hashem, hey, Hashem, help me do tshuva. Help me rectify the things that I've done wrong because I, as an individual, I am incapable of rectifying it on my own. God, I need you. I need you to help me do the tshuva. That is another element of the tefillah. So Rabbeinu Yonah talks about davening as one of the essential cores, one of the ikarim of tshuva. The Rambam, however, never mentions the word tefillah in his context of tshuva. For the Rambam, there are three ikarim of tshuva. There is vidui, you have to confess. You have to Also, the Rambam says you have to do azivas hachet. You have to not do the sin again. And then there's also charata. You have to feel bad. That's what the Rambam says. And seemingly, the Rambam does not mention prayer anywhere in the context of tshuva. But that's only if you read superficially. If you read the Rambam superficially and you're looking for the word tefillah, if you do like, they have these like Bar Ilan searches, you know, you could punch the words tefillah into the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, it's not going to appear. But there's another term that does appear. And that term is called tzaka. Tzaka is screaming. Tzaka, however, is not just screaming. Tzaka is screaming in the sense of a type of davening that comes from your inner core. What the Rambam is telling me, and this is in Perek Beis, Halacha Daled, Midarkei HaTeshuva Lios Hashav Tzoek Tamid Lefnei Hashem. Tshuva means that you're constantly screaming. One of the ways of doing tshuva, you're right, it's not one of the ikarim of tshuva, but says the Rambam, it's the way you go about doing it. Tshuva means vidoy and charata and azivas hachet. But tshuva, in order to accomplish the tshuva, what you've got to do is, you've got to be tzoek. You have to scream. And the Rambam tells us that even though teshuva and tzi'aka, he uses that same word again, is great all year long, but during these 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so it's even more accepted, it's better. So the Rambam doesn't use the word tefillah, but the Rambam uses the word tzi'aka. And elsewhere, the Rambam in Perek Zayin, Halacha Zayin, the Rambam writes, Kama me'ula malas ha-tshuva. How wonderful is tshuva? Emesh ha-yazem muvdal me'ashem alokei Yisrael. We referred to this a few minutes ago. Yesterday, you were separated. You were distant from Hashem. Avonoseichem hayu mavdilim b'neichem leben alokeichem. Your sins separated between you and Hashem. So eik ve'eino ne'ene. You would scream and you would not be answered. Shenemar gam ki tarbu tefila eineni shomeya. Right, that's a pasuk in Eicha. Part of sinning and the consequences of our sin is that we scream, we daven, we plead. Gam ki tarbu tefila eineni shomeya. You daven again and again and again, but God doesn't listen. That's the result of your sins. But the idea of tshuva is that now we get our voice back. Now we're able to daven. And the funny thing is that the way I go about getting my voice back is by screaming. Right? Usually the more you scream, the more you lose your voice, no? Isn't that the way it usually works? But the idea of tzaka that the Rambam references as being so essential to tshuva, the idea of tzaka is that you're screaming and you're screaming and you're screaming and you get heard. So tzaka, which for the Rambam is the same as tefillah, tzaka is a core of doing tshuva. It's an essential part of doing tshuva, but it's almost something that is the catalyst for tshuva. The thing that brings us into a tshuva mindset is I daven and I daven and I daven again. That's tzaka. It's ribui tefillah. But you know, in Hebrew, there are certain letters that interchange. I remember when we learned about this in elementary school and then again in high school, it's a type of thing like, come on, who needs this, right? But sometimes certain letters in Hebrew can be replaced. So the zayin and the tzadi, they come from the same location, the mouth, and they can replace each other. So the word tzaka is also the same as the word tzaka. Tzaka is almost like a wordless scream. The idea of tefillah in the Rambam, tefillah in this particular tzaka sense, is that sometimes you can't even articulate what it is that you want. You realize something is wrong. Unmir Schreit, You scream. You scream. Something is wrong. I don't feel right. I'm off. That's what you're doing. You're screaming. And that is part of the tshuva process. That is the instigator, the catalyst for tshuva. That's the first part. So I would contend, and for those of you who are keeping score at home, what I'm saying is actually not what, you'll have to forgive me, but the Lakewood Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Malkiel Cutler, has a book that came out around 2 years ago on Hilchos Tshuva, and he argues that for the Rambam, screaming, davening is not an essential part of tshuva. It's only true according to the Rebbe Yonah. My understanding is that no. For the Rambam also, davening in the sense of screaming is an essential part of tshuva. So that is another element. Davening is essential for tshuva, like the Rebbe Yonah says. The Rambam is adding that it's a slightly different form of davening. It's qualitatively different. It's tzi'aka or zi'aka, which means it's almost like wordless. It's almost something that you feel is futile, but you're screaming and you're screaming and you're screaming, and that breaks down those barriers. That breaks down those barriers between me and Hashem. One of the other elements, another similarity between tshuva and tefillah, is based on the different Rambam. You know, the Catholic Church has a flag. Vatican City is, I believe it is the world's smallest country. I think Monaco is like 2 square miles and Vatican City is 1 square mile, something like that. There's a flag of the Vatican. And the flag of the Vatican has keys on it. And the idea of the keys is that Catholics believe that you need the Pope or you need some religious figure to use those keys, to unlock those locks between you and heaven. You can't approach heaven on your own. The Catholic Church believes, their theology states, that you need someone else to unlock it. The Rambam, however, tells us that such an idea is apikarsis. The Rambam says that that idea is heretical. Judaism believes, and Rav Soloveitchik used to use the term, that there's a democratic notion of prayer. We believe that we don't need any assistance when we daven. We don't need angels. We don't need a Hasidish Rebbe. We don't need anything to help our tefillos. We daven and it goes straight to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It goes straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any assistance whatsoever. Not only that, can our tefillos, not only is it possible to daven and get straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if you try to daven through some other means, if you try to use someone to help you daven, someone to allow the tefillos to go up, so the Rambam might consider that apikarsis. And for this reason, Rav Soloveitchik used to point out that many of the slichos that are recited are theologically difficult. We sometimes, at the end of slichos, we say, "Machnisei rachamim hachnisu rachameinu." This idea was already opposed. That particular slicho was opposed by many, including the Chassam Sofer and the Tshuva, because what are you asking the angels to allow our prayers to go through? We believe that prayer is fundamentally democratic, and I could do it without the assistance of angels. And I can connect to Hashem on my own, davening, without any assistance. And that's the idea that the Pasuk says in Tehillim Perek Samach, hey, Shomea Tefila Odecha Kol Basar Yavou. The idea is that our prayer goes directly to Hashem. It's only me. Me and myself, and I can approach Hashem directly. I don't need any assistance. That idea that I can approach God through prayer and attach to God directly, that's the same idea that you see with tshuva. Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Vav says, Amar Reb Levi, Gedola tshuva shemaga'as ad kisei hakavod. Tshuva can approach and touch Hashem. You get right there to the heavenly throne. So I would argue that the third element of davening being similar to tshuva, the third reason why the way I go about doing tshuva is through davening. Right? We had one reason that you have to, like Rabbi Yonah says, you have to daven in order to do tshuva. That maybe you won't be able to do tshuva on your own. We had the Rambam's approach that maybe davening for tshuva is a qualitatively different form of davening. It's tzaka, it's screaming. And now I have a third approach. The reason why I daven in an effort to do tshuva is because the two things that we have in our universe that bring us into direct confrontation with the Almighty are tshuva and tefillah. So the way I go about doing tshuva to connect to Hashem directly is through the other thing that brings me into direct confrontation, direct connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that is tefillah. But there is a fourth element. You'll have to forgive me because like, I'm a Rebbe in YU. And in YU, we love what we call lumdus. Lumdus is something that's really hard to define. It basically means some sort of analysis of texts, trying to figure out what they mean. And the type of lumdus that we use in YU very often is called Brisker lumdus, which if the term lumdus is hard to explain, the term Brisker lumdus is much harder to explain. There's a full volume of the Orthodox Forum where they try to explain what lumdus is, and you could read the entire volume, and I think you'll be more confused when you're done than you were when you started. So there's an idea that Reb Chaim develops. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker, the Rav's grandfather, has a celebrated essay where he points out that there's a contradiction in the Rambam. How much do you have to have kavana? How much concentration do you need when you daven? On the one hand, the Rambam tells me that there are a number of things which are ma'akev in davening. This is the Rambam in Perek Dalet of Tefillah Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says that there are five things which are absolutely essential to fulfill the mitzvah of davening. And one of them is kavanas halev. One of them is proper kavana, proper intention. If you don't have proper kavana, you're not yotzei davening. You don't fulfill your obligation to daven. And Reb Chaim notes that if you read the Rambam, it sounds like the Rambam says that throughout davening, you need kavana. You need to concentrate the entire time that you're davening. And if you don't have concentration the entire time that you're davening, if somehow your mind goes astray in the bracha of Hashiva Shofteinu, right, theoretically speaking, you'd have to daven again. Again, today we don't daven again because the assumption is that just like you didn't have kavanah the first time, you're not going to have kavanah the second time. Dr. Lam, Zichrono Livracha, actually wrote a very nice essay to explain that idea. But the point is, Reb Chaim notes that the Rambam in the fourth chapter of Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam sounds like kavana, concentration, intention, is an absolute requirement throughout all of davening. But Reb Chaim is bothered by the question that later on, the Rambam tells me that kavana, that concentration and intention and focus, mindfulness, whatever the term you want to use, kavana is necessary only in the first bracha. And if a person davened the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei and had kavana, good enough, even if you don't have kavana throughout the rest of Shmoneh Esrei. So Reb Chaim is bothered by this question. Reb Chaim says, what's going on over here? Is kavana essential throughout all of Shmoneh Esrei? Or is kavana only essential in the first bracha? So Reb Chaim, in the classic paradigmatic sense of Brisk, says that they're tzvei dinim. The word kavana has two different meanings. Kavana can mean that you are paying attention to what the words mean. Every word in Shmoneh Esrei I translate, I know exactly what it means. That's one type of kavana. But there's another type of kavana, Reb Chaim explains. That other type of kavana is an awareness, a mindfulness, that you are omed lefnei Hashem, that you're standing in the presence of God. And Reb Chaim says, you know what? When I say that kavana, that concentration and intention is only required in the first bracha of Shmona Esrei, that refers to the type of concentration about the translation of the words. The exact translation of the words, that you have to know the words that you're saying, that's only necessary in the first bracha. However, the second type of kavana, that type of kavana that you are omeg lefnei Hashem, that you're in the presence of God, so that type of kavana is necessary throughout all of davening. I remember my grandmother, Zichrona Livracha. When I grew up, my grandmother lived in the house with us, and my grandmother was European born. She was not educated at all in any sense, but she loved davening. At the end of her life, basically, she spent all day davening. And you'd ask her, what are you doing? We called her Nana. Like, Nana, what are you doing? She'd say, yeah, I'm in Hashem's presence. I'm talking to the Eibishter. That's the way she used to say it. And according to Reb Chaim, that's actually the core element of davening, that you recognize you're in the presence of God. That's what davening is all about. And that is essential throughout all of davening. You have to recognize you're in the presence of God. The other time in the Rambam where he uses this expression of omed lefnei Hashem, of standing in God's presence, is in the mitzvah of tshuva. The Rambam writes that when you do tshuva, you have to be misvada, you have to confess lefnei Hashem, in God's presence. The Rambam uses that expression lefnei Hashem in the context of davening and in the context of teshuva. And I would argue that the reason why we daven so much in preparation for tshuva, in preparation for Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, the reason why davening is so essential to the way we prepare, to the way we do tshuva, is because both davening and doing tshuva have the same focus, that focus of being in the presence of God. Throughout the year, we lose focus of the fact that we're in God's presence. We forget about Hashem. We don't think that God is in front of us. Halavai, when we daven, we should recognize we're in God's presence. I would contend that the reason why davening is so essential to doing tshuva is because if what tshuva means is rekindling my awareness that I'm in the presence of God, so the way I do that is I daven, because davening means I'm in the presence of God. And when I daven, what am I doing? Even if I don't understand the words, but if I realize there's me and Hashem, and I'm talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that itself is the fundamental notion of davening, and that's the fundamental notion of tshuva. So again, we pondered the question tonight, how come we know that there's tshuva to connect to Hashem, but yet the way we go about doing tshuva is we daven. We don't learn Torah, which is also connecting to God. We don't learn Musar, right? We daven. And what we're suggesting is that davening is essential to the tshuva experience, and that is for four reasons. Reason number one, because we have to daven, like Rabbeinu Yonah says, in order to successfully do tshuva. Reason number two is because there's an element of davening, which is the tshuva type of davening, that screaming, that ze'aka, that ze'aka, when it's almost like a wordless call, and that's how you go about doing tshuva. The third reason that we noted is because davening and tshuva doesn't require any assistance. You just connect to Hashem directly. Like Rav Soloveitchik commented, there's a democratic notion of prayer. not in the political sense. The democratic notion of prayer that anyone can do it. And the fourth notion that we're trying to develop is just like Reb Chaim said, that when I daven, I have to have kavana that I'm standing in front of Hashem, and that is the essential core element of tefillah. So also, tshuva means a recognition that I am standing in front of Hashem. Those words, lifnei Hashem, that's what tshuva is. So the way I accomplish tshuva is I daven. And that brings me in direct connection to Ribbono Shel Olam.